from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Have you read any good books lately? We open the phone lines to get listener picks, your picks for the most memorable books of the year, holiday reading, and the best books to give as gifts, and other suggestions from you for life-changing reads. Forum is next. You can join us. Our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment, which is coming up next after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. In this Forum Hour, we give you, our listeners, an opportunity to let other listeners know your recommendations for best reads. We do this every year, and it results in a much valued list we make available to everyone online. So what book would you like on that list, and what book, fiction or nonfiction, do you feel strongly enough about that it ought to be read by others? This is kind of a share the wealth of your best read with us, and also a great idea for people who are looking for books as holiday gifts to give or to receive. Think of it as a recommendation, well, in the spirit of the season. And this has always been one of our most popular hours. We do it at least a couple times a year. And as I said, it will be on the website. Also, it will be on our Facebook page, the list, a couple hours after the program is over. And you can also find it on Twitter. But in the meantime, you can make your contributions, so to speak. No, we're not doing a pledge drive here. We're asking for recommendations of books that you feel really are must-reads. Toll-free number, 866-733-6786. If you'd like to get a book that you feel on this list, belongs there, for whatever reason, fiction or nonfiction, please feel free to call us now. Again, it's 866-733-6786, the number two call. Or email us, our email address, forum@kqed.org, or you can, of course, go to our website, and our website is kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or tweet us, our Twitter handle, @KQEDForum, or you can post it on our Facebook page. Any way you'd like to, make sure you let us know a book that you really feel belongs, for whatever reason, on this list. And preference here is for a book rather than a number of books, like, say, a top 10 and places that you ought to visit, like we were talking about in the last hour. Before we go to your calls and emails, I want to go to Kristen Evans, who is the owner of Booksmith in San Francisco. And she's also now the head of store operations at Kepler's in Menlo Park. And Kristen, good to have you with us on Forum. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. You're in your store in the Booksmith in San Francisco. And now, well, you kind of deserve some credit here and props for helping to save Kepler's. We take a little credit there, too, because we certainly brought to public attention that Kepler's was in trouble. But can you talk about that for a moment, just how it was rescued?
Yes, and thank you for everything that you've done. You know, Kepler's had a closing in 2005 when the community rallied to bring together $1 million to help reopen the doors. And about fall last year, Clark Kepler said he was ready to retire and the funds had run out again. And so he asked if Praveen, my husband, and I would be interested in purchasing certain assets of Kepler's books. And we said, Clark, you can't let Kepler's close. You know, we want to see this institution, which has been in, you know, really the peninsula, Silicon Valley's independent bookstore for over 50 years, you know, thrive and survive. And so we weren't sure if there was going to be appetite for the community to, you know, help with community funding again. But they were committed to keeping an independent bookstore in the community. And through several donations as well as bridge loans, we were able to reopen the doors of Kepler's Books in October.
Well, congratulations on that. And I know there are many people in the community who are quite pleased and delighted that you were able to do that. Also, since you kind of have your bead on a couple of bookstores here, one down in the South Bay and Booksmith in the city, I thought it would be interesting to hear what people are gobbling up or what they're particularly this time of the year attracted in. And I just want to say one preface remark here, and that is every time I do this on the air, I'm asked, what are your picks? And the reason I studiously avoid giving my picks is because we have so many authors on during the year that it almost seems like I would be insulting somebody if I just took a couple or whatever they are and said, these are the best and whatever. So I'm obviously a sensitive man, but there's at least in that department, there are a lot of books that you've been selling that have been featured on Forum, just in fiction, for example, alone.
And, absolutely.
Flight by Barbara Kingsolver, Michael Chabon's Telegraph Avenue, mm-hmm. Dave Eggers' A Hologram for the King, and mm-hmm. Juno Diaz's new book. Those are right at the top, in fact, aren't they?
Yeah, they sure are. Barbara Kingsolver is definitely selling lots of books. She is an incredible author, and she is a favorite of our customers at both stores, and the book that she's written this time seems so timely.
Also, there's a book that I frankly never heard of that's a bestseller, and it's called Bestseller This Year, The End of Your Life Book Club.
That's right. So Will Schwalbe is has been a publishing executive. His mother actually was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And so it seems like a bit of a downer of a book to talk about for the holidays, but it really is a beautifully written book about the conversations that he and his mother had in her last year of her life about a variety of books. And it's so well written, and for the bibliophile, it's a book that won't disappoint.
Well, another book that hasn't disappointed but would certainly disappoint bibliophiles or those concerned about the stylistics of writing is 50 Shades of Grey. Is that still selling?
It's really petered off. I don't know if it's going to be a flash in the pan or it'll be followed up with something else, but we definitely have seen a trending down on that one.
Gone Girl, still a big seller, though?
Yep. The Gillian Flynn book is a thriller that people are picking up. It's definitely in the top for the mystery fan.
I read it. I enjoyed it. It fulfill the page-turning desires. What else were you recommending at either of the stores? What are some of the picks?
Well, I did a little poll of our staff of what trends they're seeing, and I think one that just really stood out was we continue to see amazing rock biographies. Following on Patti Smith's Just Kids and Keith Richards' Life, this year we're seeing a lot of interest in local Neil Young's Waging Heavy Peace, as well as the Pete Townshend book and the Leonard Cohen biography.
Gee, you mean if I had been a rock star instead of being a talk show host, I could have sold a lot more books.
That's right.
How's J.B. Rowling selling? Is he still selling books?
Yeah, Casual Vacancy had a lot of interest this year. Obviously, for Harry Potter fans, it's a huge departure from that series, but her writing is accessible and people love her, and they're picking that book up.
I just picked up a book recently, which I saw on your list. It's a local writer, Robin Sloan, Mr. Penumbra's 24-hour bookstore.
Yeah, so Robin's a wonderful debut story. He had worked at Twitter, and the book is called Mr. Penumbra's 24-hour bookstore. It's set in San Francisco. It's a small hole-in-the-wall bookshop. But it's open 24 hours, and there's lots of strange people coming and going. There's actually a whole story that leads into a mystery adventure, a little bit fantastical, and he teams up with a woman from Google, and they combine the old technology of books with new technology to uncover a mystery.
So it's a good read.
Very good read.
I just read the first few pages, but now you've induced me. Anything else to add here before we find out what our listeners want people to read?
Yeah, well, I thought I'd mentioned last year, the big seller was Steve Jobs' biography.
By Walter Isaacson, who, by the way, we featured on the Forum program.
Yeah, exactly. It was by far the book of the year for both stores. But what we're seeing this year in science and technology are these beautifully illustrated gift books. We've got The Little History of Science, which is selling like crazy. There's also a couple of large coffee table books, including Information Graphics from Toshin, The Universe, which is a Smithsonian and DK collaboration, and the National Geographic Space Atlas.
Another book which I started recently, I'm not going to comment on because I just started reading parts of it, is The Patriarch. It's all about Joseph Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably doing well, I imagine.
Absolutely. You know, we had Carolyn Kennedy at Kepler's a couple of years back, and, there's obviously a lot of interest in the Kennedys as a American royalty, and this book, The Patriarch, doesn't disappoint for those people that are very interested in the Kennedy line.
And speaking about people you're having at Kepler's, I know because you invited me to come and do the interview, and I'm sorry I can't, but Justice Sotomayor is due there, I know.
Yes, in January, our big coup is that we'll be hosting the Supreme Court Justice, Sotomayor. It's a book, it's her memoir about growing up a Latina woman in the United States, and we're just thrilled to host her. We have tickets for sale for that event. It'll be at the Fox Theater in January.
Kristen Evans, now head of store operations at Kepler and owner of Booksmith in San Francisco, and thank you so much for joining us on Forum this morning.
Thank you so much, Michael.
And we'll have the rest of you out there join us. We'll begin, Stephanie, with you. Good morning.
Hi. Yes, I wanted to recommend The Perks of Being a Wallflower. It's a really awesome book. I think it's great for young adults and people in their 20s.
A novel?
Yes, it's a novel by Stephen Chomsky.
Chomsky, as in Noam Chomsky?
C-H-O-M-S-K-Y? Yeah, I don't think they're related, but yes, that's his last name. I think it's really great coming of age about participating in life and really appreciating your different experiences, and it's an easy read, definitely filled with a lot of great lessons for young adults.
Well, thank you for that endorsement, Stephanie. Appreciate your starting things off for us, and we'll just keep moving things along here, get more recommendations. Adrian, good morning. Adrian, go ahead. It's Chomsky, the last Adrian's not there. Let me go. One more time. Adrian, no? Okay. Let me go then to Barry in Sausalito. Barry, you're on.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
We met many years ago through Rita Abrams, but I have a new book out, which I guess it's okay to be touting your own product. I'm a photographer and have been specializing in ruins for many years, and the new book is very timely because it's Royal Cities of the Ancient Maya and done in collaboration with Michael Coe, who is the retired chair of Yale's Archaeology Department and the author of The Maya and Breaking the Maya Code. And I'm just in awe of being able to collaborate with an author like this.
Well, you just have to tell us, are we facing the end of the world here?
Well, I have plans for December 22nd.
So. Well, that says it all. Yeah, it's supposed to end, those who don't know, according to some interpreters of the Mayan calendar, the world's supposed to come to an end on December 21st. And the book is out, Barry?
The book is out. I did a book signing at Book Passage last week. Some of the reviews, I don't know how much time you have, but people such as Mary Miller, who's the dean of Yale College, just reviewed it and said, stunning photographs by Barry Brookoff illuminate insights and smart prose from Michael Coe, one of the most knowledgeable scholars of the ancient Maya in Royal Cities, the ancient Maya. For both general readers and specialists, this highly readable book offers wonderful surprises along with the latest and up-to-date
Well, you're not shy on self-promotion here, and those are certainly strong words on your behalf, and I congratulate you on getting the book done. Thank you for the call. By the way, you're welcome to call us, whether it's your book or not. We just want to hear recommendations of what you think is really a must-read. What you really want people to be reading, think they ought to be reading, especially this time of the year, maybe would make a good holiday gift. And we welcome your calls. It's 866-733-6786 or email us forum@kqed.org. Let's look at some of the emails here. Here's Karen from Oakland who says, I'm an avid fiction reader, and I can't say enough great things about debut novelist Teresa Link's Denting the Bosch, a novel of marriage, friendship, and expensive household appliances, published by St. Martin's Press last summer. It's the story of three contemporary San Diego couples who are best friends and struggle with the universal themes of the meaning of what constitutes home and the complexities of relationships as we approach middle age, all with a distinct California twist. Thank you, Karen, for that. Here is Heidi, who says, Becoming Animal, David Abram, is an incredible read about the interconnectedness of all human beings, how most humans see themselves as separate from nature and the resulting conditions that are unsustainable. His descriptions of the natural world are mystical and magical, the most important book I've read all year, or maybe ever. I checked it out from the library. After I finished it, I went out and purchased my own copy so I can reread it and highlight notes in the margins. And Mary writes on our website, my favorite books this year are The Lifeboat, How to Lose Her, that's Juno Diaz, and Donnybrook, varied all but stellar and vibrant prose. And here's Kathy from Atherton, who says, Beautiful Ruins, wonderful story, lyrically told, fun to read. That's by Jess Walter. And Age of Miracles by Karen Thompson Walker. I'm currently reading this apocalyptic page-turner, a fascinating concept. Jeff writes, here are two excellent unauthorized biographies of iconic musicians published in recent months that I'd like to recommend. The one, The Life and Music of James Brown by R.J. Smith, and Bruce, a biography of Bruce Springsteen by Peter Ames Carlin. And again, you can email us yours at KQED, go to forum at kqed.org or call us at 866-733-6786. Nicholas says, for this holiday season, I highly recommend a sci-fi novel by David Brin. It's titled Existence. And Margaret from over Bodega Bay says, An Unreasonable Woman by Diane Wilson, who went on to co-found Code Pink, amazing tale of a shrimper's struggle against pollution of Gulf waters by the chemical industry. The author's voice is so authentic, so well-written, inspirational, and great story. And let's go up to Portland, Oregon, and have Donald join us from there. Hi, Donald.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I would like, from this distance, to recommend a book, A Cubic Mile of Oil. This is written by two scientists and an engineer at the Stanford Research Institute. And it I think it's useful, even though it's 100% or a good book to read, even though it's 100% nonfiction, because what it does is examine the various energy sources that we may wish can replace the world's diminishing supplies of petroleum, coal, and natural gas. But it does so by defining a new unit, a cubic mile of oil. Puts them all into volumetric units so that the amounts of available energy from different sources, photovoltaic, hydropower, biofuels, can be compared on a single scale and not confound the reader or the science or the politician or even the expert with four decimal places before and four decimal places after.
And excuse me, this is, Donald, fiction or nonfiction?
It's nonfiction, 100% nonfiction. Okay. The authors are Hugh Crane, Ed Kinderman, and Ripudaman Malhotra at SRI International. And it may seem like a strange suggestion for a Christmas gift, but I think the task of bequeathing to our children and grandchildren a habitable, livable world with viable ecosystems is so important. And the issues are so distorted in common parlance today that anything that facilitates it will really help. And this book goes a step beyond many other very good books in using this common unit. And I would just add one more thing, that I think this book alone, of course, cannot accomplish that task, but the continuing need for that is illustrated by the recent hullabaloo that we've heard about the Bakken oil shale in North Dakota and how it will make the U.S. oil independent or energy independent, make North America an exporter of petroleum. Those claims are outrageous exaggerations in the judgment of most people who are really conversant firsthand with the issue, but they're picked up by so-called first-line newspapers and touted, and something that brings a level of balance and reality to this discussion would really be helpful for our society. And unless we citizens, I think, learn to take part in that conversation, we'll continue to be subject to all kinds of demagoguery. So thanks for listening.
I thank you for that recommendation. Again, it's A Cubic Mile of Oil, and it came to us from Donald up in Portland, Oregon, and getting a lot of recommendations here by email. Usually, when we do these hours, the phone lines fill up immediately, but there are problems with our phone lines. So we'll, as soon as we get them repaired, hope to go to your calls as well. Here's some more emails, though. A listener writes, I would like to recommend the novel The Orchidist, a beautifully written debut novel that plays in the early 20th century Washington State. My second book, my absolute favorite this year, is The News from Spain, a collection of interconnected love stories by Joan Wickersham. This is a book about grown-up love and all its amazing complexities, wise and tender. Boy, I said one of these, and but some of these I can't resist, I must admit. Finally, from the same listener, a book of poems, Brenda Shaughnessy's Our Andromeda, outstanding accessible poems, especially the title poem about her severely disabled son. Beth writes on our website, this year I have bought over 100 nonfiction books, some from authors I heard on forum. This past week I bought some books for family, friends, which they wanted, and alas, a couple for myself. Hallucinations by Oliver Sacks, How the French Invented Love, 900 Years of Passion and Romance by Marilyn Yalom, Chloe's Kitchen, In the Garden of the Beast, Love, Terror, and an American Family, In Hitler's Berlin by Eric Larson, book still gives me the chills, and I think actually all of these were at one time or another featured on forum. Thank you for those. Debbie writes on our website, I review books for young people, so it's not surprising that my favorites are young adults. But even Time magazine agrees that John Green's The Fault in Our Stars is the novel of the year. It's a heartbreakingly honest story of young adults dealing with life and death and literature, family, relationships, and friends. It'll make you laugh and cry. Elizabeth Wien, that's W-E-I-N's code name Verity, is another young adult book that's showing up on every best of the year list. It's a World War II friendship. It's a story starring two strong women, one an English motorcycle mechanic turned pilot, the other a Scottish intellectual spy who's captured by the Nazis and confesses all, or does she? Worth reading and then rereading for clues. The audio versions of both these books are also best of the year material. Thank you for all these excellent recommendations. Again, they're pouring in here. We're trying to fix our phone so that we can hear some of yours by phone. But if you have a recommendation, a must-read book, please feel free to email us, forum@kqed.org, or to go to our Facebook page or our website, which is kqed.org/forum, and simply click on this segment. Or you can tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @kqedforum. Here's Patrick, who says, Name of the Wind, fantastically written, an amazing story. The listener is Tim, and the author is Patrick Rothfuss. Amazing story. One of the few fictions to evoke so many emotions page to page. We've got Miller from Oakland who says 1Q84 by Murakami. No other comments or no other annotations on that, just a recommendation. Jill from San Jose says the best book I read this year was probably The Sisters Brothers by Patrick DeWitt. Very darkly comedic, but also a really touching portrait of the love between brothers. I appreciate spare prose, and I left this book with the feeling that DeWitt gave everything that was needed and not one word more. Another listener writes, for a person trying to get a better understanding of the origin of problems in and with contemporary Iran, The Age of Orphans is a good place to begin. Written by a new author, Lala Kadivi. Gaining international acclaim, speaking this month at the International Writing Conference in India, the novel makes a historical story personal and meaningful. It's not a lightweight book and should be undertaken with a serious frame of mind. That's from Mary Sue, and we thank you, Mary Sue. And thanks to Terry for this recommendation. The book that stands out most to me, and I recommend to my friends, is The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks by Rebecca Skloot, which I have read very good things about but have not read. For a nonfiction book, it is a very engaging read. I picked it up by hearing the interview with Miss Klutz on Fresh Air. I owe a huge debt of gratitude to the Lacks family who unwittingly donated their mother's cancer cells to research. Well, you can put your recommendations here. They'll all be on our website, and they'll all be available to you later this afternoon. We hope we'll get our phones working, but feel free to email us, forum@kqed.org, with your recommendation, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment or to our Facebook page or tweet us @KQED Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Have you read any good books lately? Well, we open our phone lines this hour, and we're getting listener picks. Phone lines, unfortunately, are down, but trying to get that repaired. And we want to find out what your most memorable books of the year are. We're posting those on our website, as we do every year, to make them available for you for holiday gifts or just for good reading, for whatever purpose you want to use the list. It'll be there probably just in a few hours from now. Best books to give as gifts, or just life-changing reads that you really feel are necessary for other people, you're compelled to tell other people they ought to read. We checked in earlier with Kristen Evans, who's owner of Booksmith in San Francisco and now the operating manager of Kepler's Books. We thought we'd hear from Kevin Hunsinger, a fellow Giants fan and co-owner of Green Apple Books, where I go not infrequently, and traveler to Cuba. Green Apple is a San Francisco independent bookstore, 38 years in business, new and used books, magazines, LP records, special regional focus. You're apt to see anybody in there. I saw Phil Kaufman there, I think, recently. Kevin, good to have you.
Thank you, Michael. Nice to be here.
Well, what's selling hot over there on Clement?
Well, we've got a lot of stuff blazing through the store. We're always very busy this time of year. I don't have sales sheets in front of me right now, but I can tell you a little bit about some of my favorites this season, if that would work with you.
They don't necessarily qualify as the bestsellers, but tell us what your favorites are, by all means.
Well, usually. I mean, we've done really well with one novel in particular lately, Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk by Ben Fountain. It's a novel of a troop of returning Iraq veterans who are on a whirlwind tour of the United States, sort of a victory tour after having a very successful battle. So this book is entirely set in Dallas Stadium during a Dallas Cowboys football game where the gang is going to appear at a halftime show. So it's not the most likely setting for my favorite novel of the year, but it really has a life and verve beyond most things that I've read this season. It just really comes alive across the page. Very much fun and very insightful as to what I think the Iraq experience would be for returning veterans today. So that one was certainly a lot of fun. Enjoyable.
And you have others on that are high on your list?
Well, certainly. There's the book Great Black Fire was really interesting. That's Graysmith, who wrote the Zodiac book. He's a San Francisco author, Robert Graysmith. And this is a nonfiction work set in San Francisco in the 1800s, the mid-1800s, when the city was being plagued by fires. So there were marauding bands of youth that would set areas of San Francisco on fire and then loot the vacated buildings. This book, Black Fire, is set during that time, but it introduces the real Tom Sawyer, who was an early San Francisco firefighter. Now, during this time in San Francisco, Mark Twain was living here, came to know Tom Sawyer, and Mark Twain based his book, Tom Sawyer, on this person's early youth. So very, very, very fascinating and unusual San Francisco history. I really knew nothing about the connection between Tom Sawyer and Mark Twain for reals. And then there's also the great history of San Francisco, the birth of our fire department, and really the birth of our city through fire.
So that's one really good novel you loved and one good work of nonfiction, historical, yeah?
Yeah, I think those are two top on my list this season. So, and then, of course, we're just selling books like Dogs Underwater, an extraordinary photography book of dogs swimming. So the photographs are all underwater, and they're very zany. It's really hard to do a book like that justice on the radio. But believe me, if you see it, you'll love it, and certainly would be a great gift to anybody who's interested in fun things.
And are you selling 50 Shades of Grey, I have to ask?
We sold that
with fear and trembling,
well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's starting to soften a little bit. I think we've got, the parodies are all out now, so we've got our 50 Shades of Grey, a little book shelf, and then lots of the residual ones, some of the comedy ones. I think there's a cookbook, the 50 Shades of Turkey or something like that.
Actually, I said I wouldn't give plugs at the beginning of the program, but I did an event, read from a work in progress and a former book of mine at the Makeout Room on Saturday night, which is quite an experience, by the way. If you've never done it, I'm sure you have, Kevin, because you know that world. But yeah. Amy Tan was there reading from a work that she's, I think, going to put out as an ebook called 40 Shades of Tan. It's about her work in the Rock Bottom Remainders as a dominatrix.
Oh, that would be wonderful. It's almost worth buying an e-reader to get at that one for sure.
Well, anything else you want to add?
Well, one great gift and something that we've had wonderful success with in the store over the last year is we do an Apple a Month Club, and it's a paperback original book, and it's flat rated, and you can subscribe a friend 3 months, 6 months, a year, and we'll select a book that so far we've never had one return to us as, I've already read this, you know, we're looking for a little bit more obscure, a little bit more curated titles of things that might just slip by, and unless you have a wonderful bookseller to put a copy of this in your hands, you might not get it. So I could really suggest going to greenapplebooks.com and looking at our history of the Apple a Month Club and seeing if some of those titles might be interesting for yourself or, you know, to give as gifts. And that would be a very easy way to give the ones you love, you know, books through the season.
Well, here are a couple of recommendations from listeners that I would guess are probably doing well at most bookstores, including yours. And again, these are books that were featured on Forum. Amanda writes, I'm currently reading Wild by Cheryl Strayed. Cannot recommend it enough. As a young woman struggling with many of the same issues Cheryl did, I found her story inspiring, motivational, hugely entertaining. It's a great read for young women, adventure enthusiasts, and anyone struggling to come into their own and to recover from loss. And Benton in San Francisco mentions The Season of the Witch by David Talbot, which we also featured on Forum. It's a fun read, history of San Francisco from 1967 to 1985, an important time in our cultural history when San Francisco played a major role in national events, good and bad. And Martha says, I love Walter Mosley's The Days of Ptolemy Gray. Have you read this? I made the mistake of buying it for my octogenarian mother, thinking it was one of Mosley's mysteries. It is a profound, beautiful, and sensitively rendered story of a 93-year-old man amazingly still living on his own and some tender connections he makes and powerful actions he takes at the end of his life. I say it was mistakenly bought for my mother, as she had no interest in reading about someone else's last days as her caregiver. I valued having the occasion to have cause to gain greater insight and greater empathy for dementia from the inside out. Those ranking high over there, Kevin?
Certainly Wild and Season of the Witch are very popular for us. Wild was a Green Apple Selection Book of the Month, which is every month we have one title that we believe so strongly in. We have an unconditional cash money-back guarantee, and Wild was a great book for us. Actually, both of those titles, Wild and Season of the Witch, were Green Apple Books of the Month. And then Walter Mosley, of course. I haven't read the most recent one, but I also am very familiar with his Walter Mosley title. So I love that serendipity, like you were saying, the, you know, bought it as an accident, thought it was something else, but then it just became something more than you could have imagined. So I'm sold on that one. I'll definitely give that a shot myself.
And some highly recommended nonfiction that read like page-turning fiction. This comes to us from a listener named Jules, The Tiger by John Valiant, The Golden Spruce by Jan Valiant, and Born to Run by Christopher McDougall. I don't know any of those titles. Are you, Kevin?
I know The Golden Spruce. That's a really, really interesting book. I read that some years ago. It's set in the Pacific Northwest about a tree. And it's, you know, just so much more than that. But, yeah, very good book. Yeah, those are neat suggestions.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of neat suggestions. In fact, a lot of them on our Facebook page, and you can add yours, and please do feel free. Maybe you can help me with the pronunciation. The guy that wrote The Fight Club, Chuck, how does he pronounce his name? Palahniuk?
I guess that's as close as I've ever heard of Chuck Palahniuk. Sure.
Palahniuk? Well, here's another tongue twister, I think. Meb Keflezighi, K-E-F-L-E-Z-I-G-H-I. Does that ring any bells?
I don't know.
Keflezighi. Oh, Danny saved us here, came to the rescue. Meb Keflezighi, Run to Overcome, a great running memoir. No wonder Danny knows it. And I think a motivational gift for a runner or someone hopping back on the fitness wagon for a new year. This book by Chuck Palahniuk is, of course, Fight Club. But Liz says, I've read 10 of his books so far, and he is definitely one of my fave authors. Funny, sarcastic, dark, twisted. It's all there. He is awesome. Betsy writes, Hold It Till It Hurts by T. Geronimo Johnson. Beautifully crafted exploration of race, war, empathy, family, and the power of secrets. A compelling read. I read it in one sitting, morning till after midnight, because I could not put it down. And Kira says, Pickpocket's Tale by Karen Schwabach. I'm currently reading to my 7-year-old son. It's got lots of interesting elements. A 10-year-old girl protagonist is convicted London thief sent to New York City in 1730. Young person getting along on her own. Wits, slavery, Jews. My son fell asleep during the read the other night, and I read another 50 pages on my own. So there are some Facebook page recommendations. And here are some more. Night City by Eric Morgenstern and The Book Thief. You know those, don't you?
Oh, sure. The Book Thief is doing very, very well for us. That's, yeah, I haven't had a chance to read it myself yet, but
I read it. I liked it. He was featured in Forum. Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about it. So I might have to be bumped to the top of my list. You know, I am reading some forthcoming titles by Cory Doctorow, who is a young adult writer and a senior editor at Boing Boing magazine.
Is he related to Edgar E.L. Doctorow? Do you know?
Oh, I can't. I don't believe so. He's maybe somewhere down the line, but not directly that I'm aware of.
I've seen the name. It's the same spelling, but tell us about it.
Well, Big Brother, or Little Brother, I'm sorry, was a book 2 years ago set in San Francisco, sort of post, there was a terrorist attack on the Bay Bridge, and it was blown up. Now, the government used that as an excuse to really clamp down on civil liberties, and so a group of tech-savvy teens kind of fought back using the technology at their disposal, cell phones and computers and the like. Now, that was a book, as I say, a couple years ago, Little Brother. And I'm reading right now Homeland, which is the sequel to that. And it starts at Burning Man and then moves forward.
It's not connected to the Showtime special with Claire Danes, is it?
No, I don't believe so. This is an independent, like a standalone novel, although it is a sequel to Little Brother. But he just really has this extraordinary balance. They're written for young adults or that teen reading level, but certainly as sophisticated as anything I've ever read in science fiction, and using very modern technology and technological trends in a way that really have, they're applicable to the real-world situation. So I think that any kid who's interested, or adult who's interested in computers and electronic rights, and really what we don't know, who has control over what's going on online and with our information, and ways that we can kind of fight back a little bit. It's pretty punk rock, for a young adult book, and he's just very enjoyable. So Homeland is one. It's not out yet. It will be out February of 13. So that's
well, we'll look forward to that. And yeah. Kevin, good to have you with us. I appreciate all your well-tempered and well-thought-out recommendations here. And again, Kevin Hunsinger is co-owner of Green Apple Books, San Francisco independent bookseller. 38 years in the business. You don't even look old enough to be 38 years in the business.
The store's 41 years old. I've been there 21 years, so
Green Apple's been there 38, yeah?
Green Apple was started in 67, so
41, I'm sorry. You did say 41, yeah. Okay, yeah, so we got all the numbers right, and good to have you with us.
great to be a part of the show, Michael. Thanks, and I hope to see you soon.
Hope so. Here's some other Facebook suggestions from listeners. Alan writes, I recently found this on the shelf of new science fiction books at the San Francisco Main Library, and I can hardly put it down. The Games, first novel by Nebula Award winner Ted Kosmatka, and refers to the Olympic Games in the near future and delves into the ethics of genetic modification, animal cruelty, and sport. Ralph says on our Facebook page, Midnight Rising, John Brown and the Raid That Sparked the Civil War by Tony Horwitz is not a fun book, but it's a great read for anyone interested in American history. And Heather recommends The Paris Wife by Paula McLean, historical fiction, guilty pleasure of hers, she says, and it's about Ernest Hemingway's first wife and their relationship. Very well written and hands down my favorite book. I've actually read some good things about it. So we can now give out our phone number, and thanks to Larry and Monty for getting us back in operation here. Our toll-free number is available to you. Our 415 number is available to you, and you can join us now with your recommendations at 415-553-3387. And please feel free to call us now, 553, in the 415 area code, 553-3387, and we'll try to get as many of you on as we can. Go to more of your emails and your postings on the website and Facebook page and tweets. John says, The Fault in Our Stars by John Green. My girlfriend loved it. Well, did you love it, John? I don't know. Anyway, that's all he writes. Another listener sends from his iPhone, the novel Leaving the Atoka Station by poet Ben Lerner, and Love and Shame and Love by local author Peter Orner, which I believe just came out in paperback. I'd recommend anything by Peter Orner, a wonderful writer, and has been featured on Forum, and yes, a colleague of mine at San Francisco State for many years, but also a great storyteller. Rick says, I put off for years reading Brideshead Revisited because the original TV series was so great, but Waugh's prose is terrific. Story of friendship, love, and all kinds of levels, Catholicism, and it's quite funny. Well, again, anything by Evelyn Waugh is worth reading. And Brideshead Revisited is wonderful. Here are some more recommendations from the website. Terry recommends Catherine Boo's Behind the Beautiful Forevers. Not to be missed, she says. Laurel writes, Sea Glass Rush by Bev Jaquemet, who is local. J-A-C-Q-U-E-M-E-T, sorry if I mispronounced it, would make a beautiful coffee table book. It's a visual celebration featuring photography of the most beautiful and unique sea glass that can only be found near Santa Cruz. Bought the book in Pacifica at Grape in the Fog over the weekend, and there will be a book signing there with the author on Thursday. Rand says, Read Plenty, that's R-E-D, by Francis Bufford, neither a novel nor a history nor an economics tome, but it partakes in all three, is vividly describing a brief period in post-war Soviet history when its leaders and many observers abroad imagined that the USSR might finally overtake the West in living standards, enlightening and eminently readable. And we'll get some some of your calls on now, and let's begin with Jason, who's recommending, well, someone else who was featured on Forum, Time Magazine's Lev Grossman.
Yeah, Lev Grossman's The Magicians and the Magician Kings were probably my favorite book the last 5 years.
Well, you like myth and fable.
Yeah, I liked his sort of adult Harry Potter approach, and I think his it was so relatable. I haven't reread a book since high school, and I've just recently reread these two books this year and love every page.
He's a good read, and he's a great guest, and thank you for that. Or should I say he's a great read and a good guest? Well, either will do. Joshua, you're next. Join us.
Hello.
Hello.
I was calling to recommend Unholy Night by Seth Graham Smith. He did Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, and he also did Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer. This one is basically a twist on the whole Three Wise Men story. So they're actually running from Herod when they get to the manger because they're thieves. And it's an adventure. It's poignant, of course, because Christmas is coming up, but also it's an amazing read. Very quick page turner.
Well, it sounds imaginative. And by the way, if you like zombies, read Colson Whitehead's novel, which is all about zombies, his most recent one, which we also featured on Forum. And here's Peter from Palo Alto. Hi, Peter. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to recommend The Social Conquest of Earth by E.O. Wilson. It turned out to be a surprising story that I think all of us have something in common with, and it's become somewhat of a controversy about how our sociality evolved over generations.
And Forgive me, Peter. This is fiction by E.O. Wilson, by Ed Wilson?
No, it's nonfiction.
Oh, you made it sound like a story. I wouldn't.
It does. Well, it's a story of our human evolution.
Right.
And he talks about the development of our social and tribal behaviors as a consequence of evolution. And it's fascinating in this time of divisiveness and tribalism to understand a little bit about where we came from.
Oh, that's great. E.O. Wilson, someone I admire enormously and been on Forum many times, and thank you for that. And we get Frank is up as our next caller. Frank, welcome.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I read a provocative book called Better Off Without Him by Chuck Thompson. And it's a very daring book, sort of like Hitchens talking about the God is Not Great. This is a
Christopher Hitchens' book, yeah.
Right, Hitchens, yeah. This is a Northern Manifesto for Southern Secession. And I've thought a lot about this for a long time, and I never thought anyone would write such a book. It's very funny, droll, but lots of references, and makes one think a little bit about the Civil War and what's happening, and that people are still thinking about this a great deal. And I found it a daring subject. The guy had a lot of guts, and it's a very interesting read for, I think, people in the South as well as the North and the West.
There are Southern states that are, you know, trying to work toward, after Obama's re-election, towards secession.
So this may be, this could be very very timely.
Well, thank you, Frank. I appreciate that. And we'll get another caller on here right away. Cecily or Cecile?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. I want to recommend When Women Were Birds by Terry Tempest Williams. It's just, I have recommended it to every single person that comes into my gallery in Berkeley. And it's so exquisite. And it's a very... I recommend that you read it slowly. It's also physically a beautiful book, so it feels like an art piece. So do not get the e-reader of that. Buy the physical book. It's a beautiful book. She's an extraordinary writer.
And she's also, may I add, because I spent an evening with her on stage at the Herb Theater as part of City Arts and Lectures, she's a beautiful person.
Oh, incredible. And I heard her out at Commonweal and was so deeply moved by her person, and this book is exquisite, not to be missed. And I also intend to read, I don't have it yet, the book Subversives. And I don't know the author's name. I heard him interviewed. He worked for 30 years trying to get what do you call it when you have to apply for information from the government? Michael, do you know?
When you apply for information to the government, you mean the Freedom of Information Act?
Yes, Freedom of Information Act. And he did an extraordinary book, which my son is reading and telling me about, on the period of Reagan and Hoover, and really an important book.
Well, let's find out when you've read it if you still want to recommend it.
Okay. Well, I recommend that you have that author on your program, Michael.
That's a fair enough recommendation.
Thank you
for that. Nicole writes on our website, Zubiquity, which I originally heard about from a KQED program. The book does a lovely job highlighting the similarities between animal and human medicine, how we can learn from our co-inhabitors. And another listener says that was a life-changing book, Zubiquity. And also mentions Why Catastrophes Happen by Mark Buchanan. It may at least change the way you think about the world. The thesis is that many complex phenomena, such as earthquakes, forest fires, species extinction, the stock market, are unpredictable in nature and yet share an underlying structure governed by a relatively simple mathematical law. I'd like to read that. Let me go to some more of your calls. Michael from Mountain View, good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Great recommendations. Mine is Where Is Everybody? 50 Solutions to the Fermi Paradox and the Problem of Extraterrestrial Life by Stephen Webb. It basically posits the idea, given the size and age of the universe, if there was intelligent life out there, why haven't we heard from them yet? And provides 50 answers to that question. Great, quick read for any science buff who is interested in that topic.
Yeah, well, it's indeed a fascinating topic, and thank you for the recommendation. We'll go to another caller from Vallejo, and that's you, Alicia. You're on forum.
Well, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
Great. I would recommend the book Lamb by Christopher Moore. It's the story of Christ told by his best friend, Biff. And it's an intriguing book.
What's his best friend's name?
Biff, B-I-F-F.
That's Willie Loman's oldest son. I didn't know he was a friend of Christ, too. This is revelation, yeah.
Of course. And it's the kind of a book that you cannot put down, and then you'll reread it and say, did I really read this? The author, Christopher Moore, has such a great imagination. I don't know if I can recommend two books, but... I got introduced to his writing through the book called Coyote Blue. And even though everyone says it's fiction, being Native American, I call it near fiction because there are too many things in there that I have kind of experienced, and it's part of our history. But anyway, back to Lamb. It's the book about Christ's missing years, and it tells how he experienced so many things vicariously through his best friend, Biff. And it's fascinating.
Well, thank you for that. By the way, when I said Willie Loman's oldest son, of course, I meant Arthur Miller's play, Death of a Salesman. The oldest son is Biff. We talked to Kristen Evans earlier, owner of Booksmith, and a listener writes on our website, the Booksmith hosted a wonderful reading around Valentine's Day for the nonfiction anthology called Love, Inshallah, the Secret Love Lives of American Muslim Women, 25 American Muslim women sharing their unheard stories on love, intimacy, loss, and longing. The only stories we hear about Muslims generally are in a terrorism or national security frame, so this was a surprising and stunning read. And Stacy on our website says, Nate Silver, The Signal and the Noise, great book on a range of interesting topics, accessible beyond stat nerds. Lori writes on our website, my 20-year-old daughter recommended The Song of Achilles by Madeline Miller. I just finished it. It's a good read. It's a retelling of the Achilles myth and a poignant love story. And let me go to Susie, who is joining us from San Francisco. Hi there.
Hi. My book to recommend is Swim, Why We Love the Water by Lynn Shear. I recommend this to anyone who swims. You need to read this book. Mm. It's full of interesting information about swimming. It's fun to read. It talks about the joy of swimming. It's definitely inspiring. I loved it.
Well, thank you. And I know Lynn Shear. I didn't know she had this book out. So this is always an education for me. And by the way, you can continue to post your favorite books or books you feel people should read on our website, kqed.org/forum, or by going to our Facebook page or tweeting us. The Twitter handle is at KQED Forum. And let's get another caller on here. Dave, hi.
Oh, good morning, Michael. I'll be quick. I have a fascinating timeless history book to be for people. It's a secret history of the war, and the author's name is Waverly Root. And many people will be familiar with him for his later books on cooking, The Food of Italy, I think, and The Food of France, very famous books. This one is a fascinating in-depth study by a guy who was apparently a really preeminent, kind of the Bob Woodward of his day, a preeminent investigative journalist who had contacts all over the United States and Europe. And he digs deeply into the past history of World War II, and he explains why it's going to happen again and again and again. And I was reading this during the election and reflecting on the tactics being used by the major political parties and how they literally describe the activities of the various belligerents in World War I and the interstitial period and then in World War II. It's absolutely amazing read.
Well, we thank you for that. Good to hear that added to the list. And the list, again, will be available later this afternoon. Simply go to kqed.org/forum, and you can find the list a couple hours from now or go to our Facebook page. Let me just give some tweets here quickly. Mo tweets, "She's Come Undone" by Wally Lamb. Nearly 12 years after reading this book, I'm still moved by its story and message. Sarah tweets, "I can't endorse the series enough. A Song of Ice and Fire by George R.R. Martin. Any fantasy lover would drool over this as a gift." And Robert recommends "Wonder" by R.J. Palico. Great young adult novel about seeing things from many different points of view. Very touching. And Eddie says, "Viet Africa" by my father, Michael Codell. It's a novel of international political intrigue from the point of view of a journalist in the early 60s. Thank you for all your recommendations. They will be online again at kqed.org and on our Facebook page. And we are here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeated. Hope you will join us tomorrow. And thank you for joining us today. I want to thank our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and our producers, Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi, Amanda Stupai, engineers Danny Bringer, executive producer Raul Ramirez. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.